Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Hello, hello. Good morning and welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. I'm Macy Renee and I am thrilled to have you joining me from wherever you're listening from in the world. And I hope that you enjoy this episode. I think it's going to be one that is very important. And I just want to thank the person that submitted this suggestion on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, my handle is Macy Renee Coaching. You can always find that in the show notes. Give me a follow if you're out there. Say hi if you would like. I love meeting my podcast listeners and chatting back and forth a few times just to get to know you and how you found the podcast. And I love hearing just whatever you have to say. I think it's so fun to get to know you. And if I see them, I always try to answer back. So anyways, I posted on my Instagram suggestions for topics that you all want to hear, specifically for a masterclass. And I got a lot of great suggestions, but I also had suggestions that I thought would be so beneficial for the world to hear, right? Like there were topics that I think are going to be great for a masterclass and for the people who tend to attend or find me and sign up on my email list to know about that stuff. But I also felt like there were topics that a lot of people need to hear in the world, and I want to spend time diving into those topics. So someone wrote in as a suggestion that they wanted to know what to do with when you're in a funk and when you know there are things that you should be doing or could be doing, but you just can't get yourself to do them. And it got me thinking about talking about the importance of when you're in a funk and what that may feel like versus when you are maybe battling depression for whatever reasons, chemically or just kind of in, you know, from random things that are happening and compiling in your life. So we're going to talk through that. And before we do that, I just want to let you know, I am not a medical doctor. I am not a psychologist. For anybody new here that, you know, maybe is starting here and you're not starting at the beginning, my background before I left to become a full-time life coach was occupational therapy. So my training only goes as far as covering, you know, rehabilitation for pediatrics, geriatrics, traumatic brain injury, like different things that I was trained in as a student. And then I spent 6 years working in pediatrics for the birth to age 3 population. So I hold a bachelor's degree in health science, a master's degree in occupational therapy, but I'm not a doctor or psychologist. So I just want to preface with that because I think it's important to say, like, you do not have to take anything that I've said on the podcast word for word, or like I always tell people, take what resonates and leave what doesn't and use the information as best as you know how and apply it to your life in whatever way works for you. I'm just here sharing my experiences. As someone that experienced a lot of childhood trauma as well, growing up even through adulthood, I did go to therapy myself as a patient slash client for 17 years and then took a 1 year break. And then I was introduced to this amazing world of coaching, life coaching, and met my very first coach. And I was 24 years old at the time. I was broke as a joke, but there was something in it and in my spirit that said, this is the next step for me. I really feel like I'm on a hamster wheel. I feel like I don't have the tools to actually move forward. I know how to repeat myself a lot. I know, you know, that I can rehash things that have happened in my past over and over and over again. And I feel good temporarily, but I want to be able to like permanently move forward. And so I really had the mindset of, even though I'm broke as a joke, I will figure it out. I will figure out how to, you know, invest in myself and my brain. And I started working with my coach, and I have been working with coaches pretty consistently for the last 6 years. It's getting ready to go on 7 years. And I've been in personal development, reading all the books and consuming all of the knowledge for, I think at this point, maybe like 9 years. So I love this work. It's very near and dear to me, but again, take and leave whatever does or does not resonate with you and your system. And know that I am not a medical doctor sharing any of this. Okay, I'm just sharing my life experiences through both personal experience and through being an occupational therapist and now a full-time life coach. Okay, so the topic is, are you in a funk? Are you depressed? Let's talk about this and get through it together, okay? And I want to tell you that the definitions I'm getting ready to give are really just from my own mind and what I consider to be the case for both of these, okay, individually. So whenever someone says to me I'm in a funk, or whenever I've thought about myself being in a funk, the way that this resonates for me, and again, this could be different for you, but the way that this comes across for me is that oftentimes I feel very blah. Like, that's the way that I know how to describe it. I feel blah. I don't totally feel bad, but I also don't totally feel good either. I'm a little bit in between, and I kind of feel like I'm just existing and on autopilot. It's hard to get myself moving. I know that there are things I could be doing, and yet I find myself not always doing them. I can recognize that I'm probably bogged down with a lot of emotions, but I might not know exactly what those emotions are, why the funk is coming about, or how to get through it. Okay, so that's how I kind of describe a funk for me. And again, your definition of this could be different, but the reason that I want to point out the difference between how I think of a funk and how I think of depression, which I'm about to share a definition there, is because I think there's a fine line between the both of these. And so I do want to kind of share a little bit of my professional lens and background in what I'm trained to recognize in mental health. Okay. And also, P.S., I'm so sorry if my nasaliness, I know that's not a word, is bothersome. I'm literally like allergic to the Las Vegas desert. Never had allergies my entire life living in Kentucky. Moved to Las Vegas where I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory because there's no like grass and whatever. And I have literally been sick for almost a whole year. It's starting to resolve itself. I bought this special like Las Vegas tincture allergy blend where you literally drop 15 drops under your tongue multiple times a day to expose yourself to the common allergens, and it's working, but I can still hear in my voice that I'm nasally, so I apologize. Okay, but let's go into the definition, or my definition, for instance, of depression. So here is something, and I've shared this on another episode of the podcast, but I just want to say it again because when I heard it years ago, it resonated so, so, so deep with me. And I think it may be the same for you. So the first thing about depression a lot of times is that you stop participating in basic daily living skills. So it's like you are not even motivated to get out of bed. You don't want to shower. Like maybe if you're, you know, the person that used to put on makeup and get your hair done every day, or for guys, like really motivated to like shave and clean up and, you know, get real nice, you don't feel like doing that anymore. It's such a chore. It's such a task. It's like it's just easier to kind of lay and isolate and not think about taking care of yourself, right? Like, even if you want to take care of yourself, you just can't find the energy to do so. And it feels like self-care and just basic everyday things are the biggest chore. You may also find that you have a lot of intrusive thoughts, lack the willpower to do much of anything, and feel super bogged down in your mind. Like, everything feels like worst case scenario, and it just, life just feels very, very dark and heavy, and you feel very isolated. And even if there's a ton of people around you, you still feel isolated. And even if those people are offering to kind of help lift you up, there's also this piece with depression, I think, where you want to self-isolate because you just don't feel good. You just don't feel like yourself. And the part that I want to add that I heard years ago that resonated with me so deeply, I was listening to something with Jim Carrey, and he was talking about his mentor in life, and it was a spiritual mentor. And this spiritual mentor said to him, you know, I want you to think about the depression, because Jim Carrey was experiencing this deep, deep depression. And for anybody that I think has watched his movies over the years, if you're a fan, you know, you see just this super comedic, you know, funny, just easygoing type of guy. But if you listen to a lot of interviews, maybe not now, but in the past, he talked about how he went through this period of a lot of darkness and depression. And so he hired a mentor, spiritual mentor and everything. And his spiritual mentor was like, look at the word depressed. And he goes, what happens when you break down that word? And then he goes to point out, if you look at the word depressed and you break it breaks down into two words, deep rest. And he told Jim Carrey, you need, like, when you're feeling depressed, it's your body saying you need deep rest for the character you're pretending to be or play. Deep rest from pretending, right? From being this false character. That really hit home with me because I don't suffer from diagnosed depression, but I have definitely had periods of my life through being someone who has had trauma. I have had those periods in life where I have felt very depressed. And sometimes it would last days, sometimes it would last a week, you know, but I was always able to kind of pull myself up and out of it. And I think a lot of that was going to therapy, having resources, right? Like, even hiring my coach in the very beginning, I was probably very depressed, right? Like, if I look back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, she was definitely coaching me through some deep, deep, deep stuff that I probably could have also been going to therapy for. But the thing was that resonated with me so deeply about the depression and deep rest comparison is that I think for a lot of people who do, you know, feel depressed, and I don't want to talk so much about the chemical depression, right? I want to talk more so about like the depression that kind of comes and goes in waves with whatever life is kind of throwing our way that feels very heavy. If I'm speaking to that specifically, what I think a lot of people experience is that they put on this persona where it's like, I want to look like I have it all together. I want to look like things are perfect. I want to please the people that I love, that love me. I don't want to let them down. And meanwhile, what you're experiencing internally are a bunch of emotions that are going in opposite directions. So on the outside, you're showing up like you have it all together and you're willing to help anybody out, drop what you're doing, be of service, you know, even if it's inconvenient to you. And you just go on about pleasing people and smiling and putting on this front. And I think that that is exactly what Jim Carrey's mentor was talking about when you're showing up that way, but that's not how you're feeling on the inside. On the inside, you feel empty, you feel depleted, you feel lonely, you feel tired, you know, you feel like life is so heavy and that you have to carry it all and you have to be responsible for it all and you have to fix everything. Like, I can only speak from my own experiences. When I felt like this, it really felt like I'm responsible for other people's happiness. I'm responsible for making sure other people are okay. I'm responsible for, you know, multiple things that I can't control. It was just like I was putting more and more pressure on myself constantly, feeling like, you know, I have to be the one that's strong and I can't break down. I can't afford to break down because there's too many people relying on me as the person who has always held it together. And if I stop holding it together, then the people who easily crumble are going to fall apart even more. And I don't want that because I'm already taking care of them, or so it felt like, right? And so it felt like I couldn't be genuine to myself. I couldn't be true to myself. I couldn't show up in my truth, which was my truth was honestly that I needed help, and I wanted the help with my mindset. I wanted the help in figuring out why I was so exhausted and, you know, depressed and feeling down and mad at the world. And coaching is truly what pulled me out of it. But here is what I want. The caveat to this is that sometimes people will come to me that think that coaching is the answer, but have maybe never had therapy and they're really going through a deep, dark time. And they may be surprised when I tell them I do think therapy is a great place to start, because I don't dismiss the fact that I had 17 years to really repeat the things that bothered me over and over and over and over and over again for 17 years to the point where I had processed a lot of the emotions. I just didn't know how to move forward from them. So I think sometimes with depression, especially severe depression that's making it hard for people to get out of bed every day and to get ready and to put the makeup on and fix their hair and shave and, you know, all of those things, I think what tends to happen sometimes is that they haven't even processed the things that are stored in their body. And I do think that there is a beautiful place for therapy with that first, if you've never experienced that. And if you haven't found, like if you've gone to therapy and you hated it, you know, but you haven't tried multiple therapists to find your right fit, that could be what's going on, because therapy is not a one size fits all. Not everybody's going to be your person or your cup of tea, just like I might not be everybody's, you know, coach of choice, because they might need something different, and that's okay. So I will say that if you have tried to go to therapy and it feels like it didn't help and you've only tried one, maybe two therapists, and you really feel in this funk of like, I can't even pull myself out of bed, I do encourage you to try and try and try again until you find that match that feels really good. And then when you are functional, so as you know, an occupational therapist, what we were trained in is that, you know, when people are functional and they're back to showering and, you know, pulling themselves together every day and doing the normal routines that they would do, but maybe they're still feeling a little off, that's very different than someone who is in a deeply depressed state. So that is what I would call a funk, right? Where you're still showing up and you're doing the things that you need to be doing, or maybe the things you have to be doing, like you still are going to work. You're not calling into work, unable to show up. You're still dropping your kids off at daycare, right? It's not that you necessarily have the energy to do it, but you don't abandon ship because of the mental state that you're in. And that's how I would kind of describe the depression versus a funk. And again, not the case for everybody, because some people who deal with depression may still be showing up because of the responsibilities at hand. But in general, when people are in a really deep, dark place, it really is hard to get up out of bed, right? It really is hard to show up. A lot of times you rely on other people to kind of help pull the weight while you're unable to do that. And so bringing me back to a funk, or bringing you all back to a funk, the way that I think of it is when I kind of am in this place of I don't really know what exactly is wrong. And I can still do my daily routines that I absolutely have to do, but I can't get myself to do more. Like I can't get myself to show up as my highest self. I can't seem to get myself to do the things that are going to really serve me. Like maybe I have goals, but I'm not really showing up to those goals. That's how I would categorize a funk more so than being in a depressed state. Does that make sense to everybody? And again, these are my definitions and kind of what I've seen over the years, just both personally, professionally, even in family life, things like that, of that nature, people who have struggled with mental health issues very close to me. That seems to be the difference. I don't tend to become super worrisome about myself or other people until I notice that they are completely abandoning themselves in every way, shape, or form. That's whenever I think the depression thing is a real deep concern and maybe cause for professional therapeutic help. But all of that to say, if you are in a funk, that's who I'm going to really direct this conversation to from this point forward, okay? If you feel like you're in a funk, there are a few things that you need to know about our sneaky, wonderful, completely, sometimes out of control brains. Okay, the first thing is our brain loves to keep us safe. So we have to be mindful and watch for when it's fighting us from getting us out of our comfort zone. Okay, so when there are things we know we could be doing or things we know we should be doing and we're kind of feeling like, I don't feel excited or motivated to do those things, you know, we call it sometimes being in a funk, but sometimes it's just the fact that our brain really doesn't want to do the thing because it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to push us out of our comfort zone, and it wants to rely on motivation. Speaking of which, if you just go one episode before this one, you will hear some very valuable nuggets about the difference between motivation and commitment, because they're two very different things. And I did a whole spiel on that on the podcast episode right before this one. I can't remember if it's like 164 or 165 or something like that. But that's something that you're really going to want to be mindful of. The second thing of how we kind of say I'm in a funk, what I have noticed in me, and maybe this could be true for you, maybe not, is that I know that my brain sometimes loves indulging in negative emotions because, again, it keeps me from having to fully show up in my power. And I notice this with clients as well. Our brain sometimes loves to indulge in negative, I don't even want to say negative emotion. Like when I say negative emotions on this podcast, I don't mean negative as in bad or you shouldn't feel them. That is never, ever what I am saying whenever I say negative emotion. The better way to describe it is when there are uncomfortable emotions, I should say, rather than negative and positive emotions, uncomfortable versus comfortable emotions, right? Like, and even that sometimes is not even good because like you could say it's comfortable to feel happy, but some people are very uncomfortable feeling happy, right? They're kind of like, or excited. Like sometimes excitement feels very anxiety ridden in our body. And so sometimes people are like, I hate being excited, or I hate surprises, or I hate, you know, things that I know are going to be good because it doesn't feel good in my body. So I'll try and find a better word for that. But just know whenever I say, whenever we're feeling negative emotion, I never mean it in a negative context, like you shouldn't be feeling those things. Anger, sadness, frustration, they tend to feel uncomfortable / negative in our body. But just because we're having those emotions doesn't actually mean there's something wrong. And what I'm saying is that whenever our brain says, I'm in a funk, I don't want to do the things I know I could be doing or should be doing that will move me forward, sometimes it's as simple as our brain wanting to indulge in those uncomfortable, negative feeling emotions. Okay, because the funny thing is when it indulges in negative, uncomfortable emotions in our body, you don't have to change a single thing. That's what your brain convinces you of, right? It's kind of like, I'm in a funk. I don't want to record a podcast. I'm just going to lay here all day and I'll get it to them 4 days later because I'm in a funk, right? And what I want to call your attention to is that without the awareness, if I just allow myself that indulgence in my negative emotions, I'm not going to get it done. So I really have to find the distinction between, am I in a funk? Am I depressed? Right? A lot of times I'm in a funk. And if I'm in a funk, why is that? And what I have found over the years for the reasons that I'm in a funk, it can vary, right? It could be circumstantial that's making it feel very, making life feel very like bleh at times, right? But here's what I want to tell you to bring you back into your power. And you'll learn this if you go back to the beginning, if you're new here. But there's something called the model that I was trained in through the Life Coach School, and it's abbreviated CTFAR. And the C stands for our circumstance, okay? And if you were to put those letters like in a vertical line, the C is your circumstance, the T is your thought, the F is your feeling, the A is the action, and the R is the result, okay? And basically, whenever life happens, those are circumstances. And all of our circumstances are neutral. And how we know that is because a circumstance can happen to, let's say, a group of 100 people, and 50 people could feel one way about it, and 50 other people could feel another way about it. Okay. And that makes the circumstance, it's neutral until we have thoughts about the circumstance. Okay. So the example that I constantly run into the ground with my clients is if you're on the expressway and your tire pops suddenly, okay? You're trying to get to something important and your tire pops on the expressway. That's neutral, okay? It's neutral, and the reason that we know that is because not everybody would be thinking the exact same thoughts. You could have people with multiple opinions about the same thoughts. Circumstance. So there could be, if I'm going back to the 100 people, 50 people might have the thought process, thank God we're safe. Thank God we have people that can come to our rescue, AAA, right? A tow truck, family members. Thank God that the tire popping on the expressway didn't hurt anybody else, that it didn't hurt us. You know, that could be 50% of the people. The other 50% could be completely beside themselves of, I'm going to be late to my event. This is so inconvenient. You know, you weren't paying attention. That's why the tire popped. And this is, you know, this is so annoying. Now we're going to have to spend money. Now we have to wait all this time, right? Their thoughts about the exact same circumstance could be completely different. And when I say this, that is why our circumstances are never dictating what result we're getting in our life. A lot of times it's our thoughts about the circumstance, okay? Now, here's the funny thing. When you have a thought about any circumstance you're dealing with in your life, thoughts then generate feelings / emotions in our body. Okay, so whatever thoughts you're having consciously or subconsciously then creates emotion that you're going to feel in your body. It could feel it could be emotions that feel really good and happy and joyful. It could be emotions that feel very like blah and negative and not so great, okay? And once your body experiences emotion, then that drives the action you take or don't take in your life. The action that you take or don't take based on your emotions and based on your thoughts is what creates the results that you see in front of you. So going back to the tire popping on the expressway for the 50% that say, thank God we're safe, you know, that could have been so much worse. I'm so glad nobody was hurt. Those are their thoughts. Those thoughts may make them feel the feelings of gratitude, safety, reassurance, okay? Safety, reassurance, gratitude then drives the actions. When they're feeling that way, they may happily call the tow truck, you know, or a family member to ask for help, dish out whatever money to get them to wherever they need to be, right? Like get the car towed, take an Uber to where they were trying to go. It's going to drive the action line for them. And then the result of that is going to be the car gets taken away and taken care of. Everybody's safe and sound, and they get to maybe go to the event even if they're late. Okay, so that would be the result that that 50% creates based on not the circumstance, but their thought about the circumstance, their feeling about the circumstance, the action and the results. Okay. Or the thought. Yeah. The thought, the feeling, the action, result. So if we look at the other 50% that is, you know, in the same exact circumstance, but if their thought is like, this is so inconvenient, we don't have the time for this, now we're going to be late, it's all your fault. Again, those are just thoughts. Very different from the other 50%. Those thoughts may make someone feel annoyed, frustrated, and upset. If they feel annoyed, frustrated, and upset, that's going to drive their actions that they take. So the action may be that they don't call a tow truck, they fight with their significant other or spouse, they yell in front of, you know, the kids or whoever's with them, they go back and forth about what they should do next, they, you know, stop speaking to each other. Like, it could drive the whole list of actions that they do or do not take. And then they get the result. And their result may be they never end up showing up to the event. They're not speaking to each other. They go to bed angry. And, you know, maybe the car doesn't get towed, you know, or picked up and it's still on the side of the road. Like, the point of the matter is that our circumstances are neutral until our brain provides a thought. So how does this relate to being in a funk? You have to check yourself when you're indulging in emotions and thoughts that are keeping you from the result that you actually want. Okay, and our brain is really good at indulging in, I'm in a funk, I don't feel like doing it. And all of that to say as well, something that you have to be onto yourself about is, do you actually allow yourself to feel the feelings and process them? Okay, because what a lot of people do instead of actually feeling and processing their emotions is they buffer. Okay, so whenever you feel in a funk, you get on your cell phone and you start watching Instagram reels, scrolling on Facebook, Pinterest, right? You turn on Netflix and you start binging a new show. You grab the snacks even though you're not necessarily hungry, and you just start eating because it's going to make you feel better to have your favorite snack. And, you know, then you go and you work at the gym for several hours, or you start shopping online and buy a bunch of stuff that you don't need. Like, you start partaking in distractions because of how you're feeling, rather than actually sit and process and feel the feelings until you've moved out of the funk so that you can get to business. Okay. So sometimes when we're in a funk, we really just have to be onto ourselves about checking ourselves. Now, again, if you're in depression, okay, and you're not getting up and doing your daily, everyday routines, and you're having trouble getting out of bed, and you're needing to call in to work for mental health days, and you just have this dark cloud over you, that's different, right? Like, that's going to be more mental health related, where you probably should seek out some professional help, like a therapist, okay? Someone who can monitor you and get you back at least to what we called an occupational therapy baseline. So like, if I started having a patient coming into therapy that's no longer brushing their hair, brushing their teeth, wearing the same clothes that I've seen them in for, you know, multiple days in a row or multiple weeks in a row, and they're just not looking like themselves, they're not really saying much, they're telling me, you know, things like, it's really hard to be alive and things like that, that's whenever my red flag goes off as a professional. And I'm like, okay, they're depressed, they need professional help. Okay, and then I release the reins and make sure that they're getting the help that they need. Okay, and that is understandable when people are in that place where things are not getting done, that maybe they're like, I know that I should, but I just literally can't, right? And so when I'm thinking of, I'm in a funk, for me, again, my definition of that means I'm still able to like get up every day and do my basic things. Like, I'm still brushing my teeth and brushing my hair. Like, I might not look cute. I might have like a sloppy bun versus getting up and putting makeup on every day, right? And I might be in sweats and a t-shirt versus dressing up. But it's like, I still feel functional, right? I can still get things done. It's just I'm not super feeling super happy about getting them done. I'll do them, but it's kind of like, oh God, when is this funk gonna like be gone? You know, it's kind of like I get in a funk every single winter and really have to check my thoughts, my brain, my emotions, because I hate the colds. And even in Las Vegas, it gets freaking cold. I thought I was moving somewhere where it was going to be like 75 year round. It's not. Right now, I'm looking up at my little weather thing, and outside in Vegas right now, it's literally 53, but it'll drop down to like 40 every night. And you know, I hate whenever it's cloudy and dark. I hate when it's rainy. I don't like winter at all. I think I literally get seasonal depression. But even on pretty sunny days, a lot of times during the winter months when it's not super hot, I'm in a funk. I'm just like, ugh, I don't like this. I want it to be sunny. I want there to be a lot of activity. I want people to not be locked in their house sick with everything every week. Like I want to feel better, right? But I'm still getting things done. I'm still able to show up for myself. It's just that I don't feel all of the hunky-dory feelings. And so I check in with myself. First, I'm asking myself, what am I feeling? What do I maybe need to process? What do I need to check in with myself on? Then I go into, what am I maybe indulging in? Am I indulging in being tired? Am I indulging in being unmotivated? Am I indulging in all of these, you know, kind of thoughts and emotions that get to keep me in bed, that get to keep me from doing the things I know would actually serve me if I just did them? And I call myself out on my BS and I commit to doing the things that are important to do. So like, even if I'm in a funk and I don't want to record a podcast, I've committed to recording a weekly podcast, so I'm going to get it done. And so I watch whenever my brain or body is indulging in, but you could just rest. They'll understand, right? You could just get one out next week and be behind, or the next week after that. Like, I just watch when my brain is indulging in that kind of stuff. And I remember what I've committed to. So sometimes it's I don't want to say it's as simple, because it does feel challenging, but it really can be as simple as like, girl or dude, stop it. Like, this is what the brain was designed to do. Keep you safe, keep you comfortable, indulge in all of the negativity so that you don't have to grow as a person. And in order to get the things done, you're going to have to grow as a person and do the uncomfortable thing that you don't want to do. So I know that might not be the answers that we want to hear per se, but I will tell you that when you commit to something and you process your emotions and you know, like, you're on to yourself and you get really good at being a mind ninja, is what I call it, where you notice your thoughts, everything in the game can change for you. That's like the biggest thing that I love seeing when I'm working with my clients, when they come on a call and they say, Macy, I was able to see what my brain was doing. Like, that's when I feel like coaching is really the most powerful thing, is truly when my clients come to me, and rather than, you know, wanting a million answers, they are literally so introspective, and it does take practice, but they become so introspective that they're like, I see exactly where my brain is going down a bad path or a rabbit hole, and I'm able to catch it. Now I need your help of knowing what to do with it, because this is what I did and this is how I felt after, right? So like, we're able to problem solve so much faster and solve for their problems so much faster when they're really on to themselves and they're really noticing, here are my thoughts. You know, here was the circumstance. Then I had these thoughts. Then my body felt all of these emotions. Then this is what I did or didn't do. And then this is what I saw. I want a different result. What do I do? And those are like the sessions where I think my clients grow the most, is when, again, they are on to themselves. So if you're in a funk, you just have to start looking at yourself kind of like with a magnifying glass and being on to yourself. What's going on? What do I need? And again, if you have that little touch of depressed, right? Like, not severe, but kind of like, oh, I just feel bleh. Just go back. I think it's so powerful for me. Like, I go back to this all the time and I say, what do I need deep rest from? What character am I pretending to play? Am I showing up for myself, or am I trying to show up for everybody else? am I people pleasing to not hurt anybody else's feelings, or am I making sure I please myself first? Like, I go through whenever I'm feeling that little tinge of depressed and ask myself, what do I need deep rest from? And sometimes the answers are, I need deep rest from scrolling on social media and seeing what everybody else is doing. I need deep rest from saying yes to everything that people want me to do. I need deep rest from, you know, maybe it's like from people pleasing because I don't want to hurt their feelings, right? Like, I just have to notice where that stuff is coming up for me and call myself out on it. So you can still use the tool of where do I need deep rest, even if you're feeling like a funk. And again, it's because your definition of a funk and depression can be very different based on the way that you experience the two. But I thought it would be important to distinguish between the two, because sometimes I do have people who come and they're really in a low kind of mental health point. And I always like to be upfront and honest that just because you get on a consult with me doesn't always mean that I think coaching is the best thing for you at that time, if that's where you're at. I think it's very important to direct you to what help is going to be most beneficial. And I'm always going to be honest about that. Like, I fight for you as the person, right? I'm not fighting for you to be a client. I am fighting for you to build the life of your dreams and to create a life that feels really good. So as I'm listening to anybody that I'm talking to, what I'm trying to distinguish is, would you be a good fit for coaching? Am I the right coach for you, right? Because sometimes I might not be. Or do you need someone else that has more professional background than me in the therapy realm, right? Because coaching is more future focused and therapy can be more past focused, and our methods are going to be very different. So I hope that this episode kind of helps distinguish between the two and what you can kind of do when you're in a funk. The biggest takeaway from this is you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? Like, really call yourself out on your brain and do the introspective work. And if you're struggling with this, if you just don't understand, even after listening to this episode, of how to do that, you're more than welcome to schedule a free 60-minute consult on MacyRenee.com. We can talk about the things you're specifically going through, your specific circumstances, what you specifically are thinking and feeling, and I can help you work through that and build some awareness on the consult. And then if coaching is something that you're needing and I am a good fit for you, you're a good fit for me, then we can talk about the different things that I offer. Otherwise, I will do my best to point you in a direction that I think is going to help you move forward. But if you all ever need anything or struggle with the topics and you just want to create mastery around this, coaching is a beautiful place for that. And I would be honored to help serve you in that way if that feels like what you need. So reach out anytime. And I hope you all have an amazing week this week. I will see you guys later. Bye. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at MacyRenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at MacyRenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.